vision, chasing his way through the constellation. He checks out months, so while he does top or reminds me that there's a room to grow. Back in the atmosphere, I'm afraid then he might think of me as plain old Jane. Told a story about a man who was too afraid to fly, so he never did land. Tell me, did this wind sweep you off your feet? Did you finally get the chance to dance alone in the light of day? Head back to the Milky Way and tell me, did Venus blow your mind? Was it everything you wanted to find? And did you miss me while you were looking for yourself out there? Can you imagine no love, pride, deep fried chicken? Your best friend always sticking up for you. Even when I know you're wrong, can you imagine no first chance, freeze-dried romance, five-hour phone conversation, the best soy latte you have ever had in me? Did you finally get the chance to dance alone in the light of day? Head back to the Milky Way and tell me, did you fall for a shooting star? One without a permanent scar? And did you miss me while you were looking for yourself? Thank you so much.
Hey, what's up? You are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 Tufts Freeform Radio. I am here. Nev is late. Bex is late. So you know what that means. Old school. I'm going to read you The End of the Crucible, a book I just read for no reason other than it's really good. And I never read it in high school or middle school or anything because I went to an international school. All right. I think we're going to start right here. So as you know, at the end of The Crucible, they're trying to get John Proctor to confess to witchcraft, to dealings with the devil. And I'm going to do this. Trying to confess to witchcraft, to dealing with the devil. And he'll do it because if you confess, you get to live. You know, he's set to hang imminently. And he also has a wife who's pregnant. He's got three kids. And so it's sort of this like catch-22 of like, if you confess to like this crime of, you know, just consorting with the devil, then you get to live. But if you don't confess, then you are hanged. It's a crazy thing. And also, come on, I'm in Massachusetts. You guys know the story. Also, too, I did not grow up in Massachusetts, so, like, Salem and all that kind of stuff wasn't required learning. But anyway, this is Danforth talking, the judge. Why, do you mean to deny this confession when you are free? Proctor, I mean to deny nothing. Danforth, then explain to me, Mr. Proctor, why you will not let... He gets cut off here by Proctor with a cry of his whole soul. Because it is my name. Because I cannot have another in my life. Because I lie and sign myself to lies. Because I am not worth the dust on the feet of them that hang. How may I live without my name? I have given you my soul. Leave me my name! Danforth, pointing to the confession in Proctor's hand. Is that document a lie? If it is a lie, I will not accept it. What say you? I will not deal in lies, Mr. Proctor is motionless. You will give me your honest confession in my hand, or I cannot keep you from the rope. Proctor does not reply. Which way do you go, mister? His breast heaving, his eyes staring. Proctor tears the paper and crumples it, and he is weeping in fury, but erect. Danforth calls the marshal, Paris, the town reverend who everyone hates, hysterically, through tearing the paper, is like, Proctor, you can't do this. Hale, the guy from Beverly, who kind of people like, man, you will not hang, you cannot. John Proctor, his eyes full of tears, I can. And there's your first marvel, that I can. You have made your magic now, for now. I do not think I see some shred of goodness in John Proctor. Not enough to wave a banner with, but white enough. I read that incorrectly. This is Proctor talking, his eyes full of tears. I can. And there's your first marvel, that I can. You have made your magic now. For now I do think I see some shred of goodness in John Proctor. Not enough to wave a banner with, but white enough to keep it from such dogs. Elizabeth, his wife, in a burst of terror, rushes to him and weeps against his hand. Give them no tear. Tears pleasure them. Show honor now. Show a stony heart and sink them with it. He has lifted her and kisses her now with great passion. All right, so, I highly recommend. You probably read it in the afternoon if you wanted to. And then also, since it's just me here, I get to play whatever song I want. And I choose to play this song. Great. I'll see you in a minute. We'll be right back.
but now I see muscle and bones. You know, I never wanted to hurt you, but I'm sorry, my friend, this is the end. So I'm saying
hey, bad transition aside, we're back. And Nev's here now.
I am here. Oh, I don't think my sound is on, though. Can I...
You got it? Maybe this isn't the right one.
Maybe.
No, that is. You gotta, like, do this.
Oh.
Is that it? That do it?
Yeah, you gotta fiddle a little
bit. Yeah,
you
gotta, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Matters a little bit, but...
It does. No, it makes a difference.
I just gotta hold it like this. Nope.
That's no way to live. You shouldn't do that. Yeah, right. That's... Does it work?
No.
You can switch to another one. I mean, it's... This one, these ones are the good ones. Right here. I know this is like radio that everybody wants to listen to. But like... You gotta get it right. You know?
Introduce our bit.
The bit here is gonna be academic articles that Nev has read and has made Nate read. And our thoughts. That's our current segment, which is, what have you been reading?
Great segment. Great.
You're too. Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Nice.
Can you hear yourself?
I can. Thank goodness.
Great. Okay.
I love hearing myself.
There
talk.
It is. Yeah. It is nice. It goes from kind of weird to just like, I need this.
Yes. Yeah. This is a pivotal part of my morning for sure. What I have been reading. What I sent you last night was an article about, is silence really golden? And it was looking into...
Good title. Real reach.
Which was interesting because by the title, I thought that it was going to be like very anti-silence.
Yes.
And that was not the point of the article. The point of the article was everybody views silence different, essentially.
What a conclusion.
Which is the conclusion that pretty much all articles come to.
Yes.
Is that everybody's different.
My contention... So number one... I think we don't have enough silence and we need more, you know, all that. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm surprised that you think that.
Really?
As somebody who talks a lot.
I think I talk because I'm, like, nervous.
Yeah, but why are you, like, why do you, if you're nervous, do you fill that space with words?
Oh, because I'm afraid that people won't think that I'm interesting enough to be around. That if I don't, like, constantly have, like, interesting things to say. Case in point. I exercised an insane take to the so we were sitting here. So for those who joined the show early, the last song played by our friends at what's the name? Is it Highlights? What's the name of the show before us?
Oh, I
don't know. Great. I don't know.
It's a great show. It's a great show. I was listening to it on my way.
Big fan.
They have great bits.
Great bits.
And this is what I was saying is I'm so disappointed in their bits.
And we need to do bits. And that's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Is this is a bit.
I'm trying. I'm just like disappointed in Nate. Also, you threw slander on my name this morning and I didn't like that. I tried calling in.
What do you mean slander on your name?
You said I was late. You said it with attitude.
No, I said it with like, ooh, I get to do the thing that I usually do, which is like open the show with some weird thing.
And you know what's funny is I actually then wanted to ask your opinion on passive aggression. Do you think that passive aggression has any sort of function in our life, or is it something that should just be completely eliminated? Is it only petty, or are there actual scenarios where passive aggression is needed and useful?
This relates to the silence question, I think.
Okay.
Because, like, what is passive aggression other than, like, unstated aggression, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's passive aggression where it's just, like, it's clear that this person's not talking to me.
Mm.
So they're weaponizing silence.
You think... I guess I wasn't even thinking. I've never really looked at silence as... it being possible to be passive. I didn't think silence could be passive aggressive.
You're never like, I'm not talking to you, you know, or like,
I feel like
I'm going to be
just aggressive. I don't know if I would say that's, I feel like passive aggressive is mostly like, man, I wish that you had cleaned the sink, you know?
Oh like, no. Or just like terse of just like, how are you doing? I'm fine. You know?
Okay.
And like no other, cause it's like, oh, are you,
do you think there's any time where that's productive and useful, or do you think it's just petty and annoying?
I think it's petty because you're not utilizing the communication strategy that the other person maybe would appreciate, you know?
Which relates to the article. Mm-hmm. That was the conclusion that it came to, was culturally many people relate to silence in different ways. And so growing up, it's kind of whatever, you know, your family unit. Saw silence as that became your norm.
Yeah.
And so, for example, in some Asian countries, silence is a lot more respected and expected. And so silence is just like a common thing.
Yeah.
But
not now. I grew up in a big family of like sort of yellers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not in good and bad ways, but just like a loud environment.
And I think one thing it's important too is sometimes silence isn't always just the piece of just you're deciding not to talk. There's also pauses in speaking and speech. That's also silence. And I think that's where we do all these ums, you know. We're uncomfortable with pauses within our speech, and so that's why we go
because you're trying to hold.
Yeah, you're trying to continue to keep speaking.
Yeah.
But that's just not how our brain works.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting. It's been something I've been trying to be mindful about in the last 24 hours.
That's good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I'll tell you a story. So we're transitioning the shows, which usually includes like, you know, them playing a song and then I'll come in and I'll, you know, you log in and stuff like that. It's a nice, it's a handoff.
It's cute.
So they played as their last song, the Taylor Swift cover of Drops of Jupiter by
Correct.
Train.
I heard it. Yep. Great song.
Great song. And also that I sort of had this like, and we were just sitting listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong you know, with that. But we were all just sort of three of us just sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you need to talk or else they're going to think you're an insane person.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was going through my mind.
Yeah.
Not from anything that they were doing or whatever, but there was definitely like in my own mind, I'm like, you gotta do something here. You gotta fill the silence because we're just like sort of, we all literally were just sitting waiting for the song to end, which isn't like, not in a bad way, but just like, here we are, you know?
Yeah.
So I made this point. I was like, this is kind of how you know Taylor Swift like preys on millennial nostalgia. I made that point. Where like Drops of Jupiter, like you could cover any song and you're like, I'm gonna cover like a radio hit from the early 2000s, you know? And then I made this other insane, and they were like, okay, yeah.
But wasn't it relevant to where she was performing?
I don't know. Was it San Francisco?
Well, she said something about, at the beginning, she said something about, you have so many amazing performers from here.
Mm.
And so I think it was also relevant to the place that she was performing.
See, I could do it, yeah.
So check your facts.
Didn't know that.
Give me the facts.
I guess if she was in, I think they're a San Francisco band. And then I made this other point, which I have been kind of saying, so maybe I've said it to you, where I was like, I'm more excited to hear any Chapel Roan song than any Taylor Swift song.
Have you watched the Chapel Roan Tiny Desk?
No.
What a shame.
That sounds good. I'm in.
After this, we will watch the Tiny Desk. I recommend everybody watch it.
Okay.
If you're not really sold on Chapel Roan, which I don't know why you are.
That's a very small number of people.
Watch the Tiny Desk. Again, yeah. It's very transformative to see these artists actually perform live. And honestly, Tiny Desk specifically, it's just kind of minimal instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And so their voice really gets highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend.
There's some ones on there that are like transcendent.
Oh, 100%.
The Mac 100%. Miller one is really good.
Yes, it has so many views on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
I watched the Tyler, the Creator one last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great. Tyler, the Creator is very strange person.
I think we're going to look back on Tyler, the Creator as like sort of the way that we think of... This is going to be a lot. This is going to be a big
Ross.
One. Prince. Where it's like this guy was doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Where like there were just solid gold hits, like crossover pop hits, but then there were also just like an insane amount of experimentation, which I think will only be appreciated, unfortunately,
for sure,
like historically.
Well, and he's such like a he's just genuinely a very strange person. Like
yes.
He has a very unique personality that he puts at the forefront of his brand.
And I want that.
Yeah.
In a world of like social media savvy and
Agreed.
Sort of like getting on the radar and whatever. Like, bring back just the straight-up weirdos.
I agree.
That are, like, especially in music.
I agree.
You need, like, these strange people that have strange tastes.
Yeah.
That it's like, hey, he's playing a show here, but he needs, like, a bowl of worms, you know, like, right here on the disc, and that's just going to be, like, the whole thing for it. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Of just, like, this is just a strange person.
Yeah. 100%.
I made that, like, Chapel Roan, and then they were like, what do you mean by that? Because also, like, you don't need to be... You don't need to talk right now. This is kind of like what I, you know, like, it's fine. It's, you don't have to like fill the gap here, but
it's
I was kind of trying to like exercise that point of just like, I was listening to Good Luck Babe like a couple days ago. It just like came on in my kitchen and I was like, I am so stoked to hear this song right now while I'm like cooking dinner. And Ginny's there and I'm like, isn't this great? And she's like, this is a good song. Like, and I just haven't. It's been a long time since, like, I think just straight up pop music has made me feel that way.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, that definitely we're in a very specific era of pop music that I am absolutely here for. Man, I lost you. I lost Nate to his phone. Millennials.
We were getting texted by... We're just going to go
you
say
know what?
Co-host number three.
You should be able to double task. You should be able to read and continue to
Don't
talk.
Have it. No,
Man.
I don't have it. I don't have. I wasn't born with a phone in my hand. You know.
Oh, I was.
That's it. Yeah.
I wasn't.
That's the generational difference. So anyway,
there's
silence.
There's a generational difference between one generation, and that's Gen Z. There's a generational difference between Gen Z itself.
I agree with that. So anyway, silence. As you know, I'm somebody who does take like not getting reached out to really hard for some reason.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also my, like, with radio silence, it's very difficult to, like, I don't know, be... When I say radio silence, I mean, like...
Why don't we just sit here in silence for a couple seconds?
Two Mondays ago?
Man!
when we did the 5 minutes of silence?
Yeah.
That felt like...
That's crazy because it felt like 1 minute to me.
Really?
Yes, it felt very short to me.
I thought every single person in the room was like, number one, can't believe you're doing this to me.
Yeah.
Like, look at my valuable time that you've, like, just wasted.
That's literally... Did you read the poem I wrote? Because that is literally...
The poems are in the pocket of a coat. No, they're back at Brett. No, the poems are somewhere.
Okay, you have to read it because
I'm gonna be in poem world here for a second.
Essentially, my poem was, "Can you hear people's thoughts without them speaking it? I can hear it through the squeak of their shoes and the rustling of their clothes. They're all thinking, why are we doing this stupid assignment sitting out here in the cold?" That was like my entire poem. Because that's just the whole time I was sitting there in the silence. That's all I could hear was the people, like, you know, like the crick, 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 crick.
But that's, I think that's how you interpret silence based on the community sort of understanding of silence. Because I would say there's big times where, like, Molly and I, you know, like, we've got the puzzles back out again, which is sort of a winter tradition for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but you, like, always have a puzzle out on your table.
So, yeah.
Like, in the... living room area.
That's usually, that gets cleaned up because, like, summertime we're doing, like, crafts there and whatever. There's, like, things like that, you know. So that table's like really getting used.
Bex is here.
Okay, great.
I just want to, so we may have to,
we'll play some music.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring her in.
Exactly. Let's conclude this though. I cut you off.
Anyway, I am, like, very comfortable with silence in that regard, especially.
But you're just comfortable with the person. I don't think you're comfortable with silence. I think you're comfortable with the person.
That's true. But I guess maybe I'm around a lot of people that are uncomfortable with silence.
I agree.
So I think that's what it is.
I don't feel like I'm uncomfortable with silence.
That's true. I think maybe, too, just... I don't know. There is, like... No, I'm serious. There's, like, a performative aspect of me, like, talking.
No, and that's real. I mean, like, that's part of what the article is about. Yeah. It's, like, that is real and that is a reality for a lot of people. And also, I think you want people to think you have something to contribute.
Yeah.
You don't want people to think, like, sometimes people interpret silence as, well, one, people always interpret it as you have nothing to say, which isn't true.
Yep.
Silence does not mean you don't have anything to say.
Yep.
So therefore, people might assume, there's so many assumptions that can come from that. Yeah. You're dumb. You're
just ignorant. I would say it's ignorant. It's not even dumb. It's just, like, ignorant of the thing.
Yeah. Man, I wish I had my notes. Yeah. I tried my notes to pull out. Because
it does happen. There are groups of people I don't talk to very often.
But this also relates to, like, activism.
Yeah.
Is then there is this sense of, if you are silent, you don't care. Or if you are silent, you are not doing anything to move things forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the actual concept of silence, you assume that concept rather than actually inquiring into, why is this person silent? We aren't really asking the why.
Yeah. Because you're in a speak now, you know.
Right, or forever hold your peace. Yeah,
exactly. Because that's, you know, and we're passing each other. And then also, like, the media that we consume is very much dictated by the things that you say.
Mm.
Like, so.
We need to get Bex up here.
We need to get Bex up here. Okay.
Bex is just texting trying to contribute.
All right. We're going to come get you. I know that we said that we would, and then we just didn't. But we're going to do it. We're coming. We're coming over here. Bex. I'm going to play a song. And all right. Stay tuned, everybody.
Well, I just found the fence where I'm going to lean. Take my handkerchief out and rub my eyeglasses clean. So I just learned my face, but I forgot my name. I'm gonna wear this smile like it's some stupid toupee and say, just learned your face, but it is bound to change. You can say what you want, but try to think of my way and say, oh, 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 this wicked campaign. I said, oh, 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 this was not my plan. Well, you know I'm a bastard and we only just met. I guess I probably shouldn't wear this big old sign around my neck. I still got some opinions that I'm willing to claim. I wanna carry them around like there's some wicked campaign. I started the debate, now I'm sure I can't win. I should probably just exit the same way I came in. Well, I'm counter-calculated, didn't calculate this. But there's a lot more nothing than you knew exists. So, I said, oh, 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 this was not my plan. Oh, 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 this wicked campaign. Every day is a wicked campaign. Well, I just found the fence where I'm going to lean. Take my handkerchief out and rub my eyeglasses clean. I could apologize, but then a bit more nothing exists. So the world's got plenty of good and bad lives, but our lives should come with chariots and choirs singing, oh, 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 things are not so bad. And we say, oh, 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 it's a wicked campaign. And they sing, oh, oh,
so I just informed. Well, first, welcome, Bex.
This goes out to all the cats.
I hope you're all listening. I just informed Bex and Nate that there is, in fact, a Crucible movie. And they did not know this.
Mic
fact.
Drop.
Mic drop. I can't drop this mic, but if I could, you would hear a drop right now.
I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised that it's Winona Ryder.
I was going to say, but wait.
And Daniel Day-Lewis.
Correct.
When did this movie come out?
1996.
How do I not know about this movie?
Are there no other versions?
That's why 1996 is tattooed on my hand.
Oh, that's why.
Because, yeah, because...
Because that's when the Crucible movie came. It's not.
I can't hear through this.
I know. This that's one.
Here,
why
wait,
I moved.
Here, wait. How's this? Is this helping
you?
You
gotta fiddle with it. I think maybe just move to this mic.
Okay.
You don't have to move mics, but
well,
you
can
probably
just
change.
You, so
you could change that.
Yeah, you gotta hear yourself.
No, I
what's
don't.
The point no, if I you don't. Can't hear yourself?
You could change. You could change headphones only, and that'll be fine.
You're
like
not
the
a,
mic is coming through.
You're not a real radio host until you only want to hear the sound of your own voice.
That's right.
I should just mute you guys somehow.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
That's the whole
just
point
start
of the,
talking
you know,
over you.
That's what I've been doing this morning with Nate. I've been talking about silence and talking over Nate as I do it. So.
So we were gonna talk about the silence part of it.
I love that phrase. Were you silent or were you silenced? I love that phrase. And I use it all the time.
What is that from?
I use that all the time.
You guys both know that. What are you talking about? Yeah, all the time behind
Nate. No, great phrase. I don't know. I just see it like on Facebook memes.
It's a meme.
It's like meme culture.
Yeah.
So we mentioned that there are places where you feel like you have to talk. Yeah. I mean, this is off air. But I was saying that there's like very distinctive places where I just don't.
On purpose. Yeah.
I kind of on purpose am not a big talker. And I don't. I think that that's interpreted sometimes as people thinking that I'm either, like, I have nothing to say or I'm angry.
Yeah,
I think
a lot
of people interpret my own silence as, like, he must be angry.
Yeah. Mm. I do sometimes feel a lot of pressure to talk because I do think people think that I am not friendly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the concept of just... You don't necessarily want... Especially, like, other women, I don't want them to view me as, like... You know, I'm not going to say this word on air, but just like as somebody,
like
a witch, you know, like I don't want them to see me as a witch.
But I feel
as
like
in concert with the devil. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Started the show with the crucible. I mean, that's
I just don't like I want people to see me as friendly. And so therefore, I feel the need to be like, hi, good morning. I love you. You know,
well, yeah, that's sweet. But but you say I love you and your energy.
Yeah.
It's radiating.
Bex, do you have a setting that you purposefully don't talk at? For whatever reason.
Some like student club meetings, I'll be like more on the periphery and just like listening.
Mm.
Yeah, especially if it's like an activism thing because I'm like not the one who should be calling the shots.
Hmm. Mm. So do you think silence equals listening?
Sure.
Hmm.
Silence equals a lot of things. Silence equals violence, like you said,
mm-hmm.
with activism,
mm-hmm.
with, like, institutions.
Yeah.
When they don't speak out or change their actions.
Mm-hmm.
But silence can be, like, very loving.
Mm.
Do you think people interpret your silence as, like, active listening?
I hope so.
Yeah. Me too, but I, like, don't think so.
But that's really all we can do is, like,
yeah.
hope. You can also say, like, I'm feeling a little quiet today, but don't worry, I'm listening. A little transparency.
I don't know. See, that's the thing is, like, depending on who's saying that, I'd be like, man, I don't think this person's, like, in it right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's, if you're, sometimes I do get, like, a little bit, like, if I'm in a setting where I'm talking or something like that, sometimes I do get a little, like, I get really nervous that the person is, like, disinterested or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But right.
What do you do in those moments, though? Do you just, like, kind of keep digging in?
Talk
like,
more, I guess. Yeah that's... I don't... Yeah. And I maybe I try to inquire about, like, what... Okay, is there something, like,
How do you feel?
You know, like, yeah. that's... You get something
or
else.
Or maybe, if you think they're disinterested, stop talking, period. Just in the middle of the sentence.
But then they're going to think just I'm stare. Mad. They're going to think I'm mad. That's like, it's an act of passive aggression, right?
I will say, though, like, isn't that on them, though? Like, is it on us to control the perception that the other person has?
This
like,
is exactly the point.
Yeah.
You can't control, like, you can never know for sure what they're actually feeling like. Mm-hmm. And so all we can do is, like, be transparent in how we're feeling and expect that of other people. Otherwise, it's just a guessing game, like perpetual.
I think this is one thing. I think codependency, a lot of times, people just see it as something that happens within relationships. But truly, like the bigger definition of codependency is you feel the need to control the emotions of the people around you.
Mm, I didn't know that.
And that's where it becomes very dangerous, where it's like, if you are in a relationship, both of you are codependent, you're both trying to control the other person's emotions, that's where it becomes very toxic. However, if you have codependent tendencies just as an individual, like I do...
and have looked at both of us.
I'm sorry, what a reason.
I was just like gauging your reaction.
That's it. Yeah, that's
Yeah, you're trying to control how we're feeling.
Exactly.
That wasn't silence because that was body language. That's what that was. Yeah.
Interesting. You
well, body
you
language can include.
I think body language is silence.
It's not mutually exclusive.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Okay, that's different. Because I think, like, somebody who's all frumped up in the corner.
Well, I think that's, like communication. You can communicate in silence.
That's like passive aggression. So, yeah, you're communicating because, like, you're very terse.
Or I mean, body maybe language I'm dancing.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm silent.
Also, I think like, that just if I was, sign language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in silence, but it is communication.
Facts.
That's true.
Thank you.
If I'm, like, at a show, I tend to, like, not give, like, the feedback loop to, like, the musician of, like, I'll, like, nod my head and stuff like that, but that's about as good as it gets, you know?
I hate that.
Wait.
The people at concerts, the people at concerts that just stand there, like, I understand. Look, I understand everybody receives music in a different way.
It is.
Everybody receives music in a different way.
This is where the rubber meets the road, where it's like, everyone can be different, but also, if you are different,
I hate that. It just bothers me when I'm like, yeah, yeah, at a concert. This happened the other day.
You want to feel like
we're one.
This is it. Let's all three of us never go to a show because I'll be like there and I'll be jamming and I usually like, I move my leg because I do that all the time. I'll tap my foot.
Yeah, you just
but
like
that's it.
Be tall, take
exactly.
up the view.
Also, yeah, you go to I the try front. To stand in front of the shortest person. I try to get in the front and I try to get in there.
What's the point of being tall if you don't stand in front of short people at concerts?
That's true.
You know? That's so true.
Here's
flex
the thing.
Your tallness.
I also get stood in front of at concerts all the time and I hate it too. Like it's, I'll be in the upper quartile of tallness and inevitably a taller person will stand in front of me at a show.
But like if you're dancing at the show, then we get like intermittent views
it's
that's true.
As you like
it's
move
true.
Out of the way.
It's
so that's
true.
Good. Are you
so
saying that's good?
Advantage. That's
it. Yeah, okay. All right.
I'd rather see it for like a little.
Yeah, those brief seconds rather than just a head bump.
It's been a long time since I was in like the front area of a show anyway. That wasn't like a DIY show or whatever, or a show like at Deep Cuts or something like that. You guys know Deep Cuts? The Medford Music Venue?
Of course I know Deep
Cuts.
Okay,
it's great. It's great.
I didn't know it.
I would say anytime, sight unseen, if you're looking to see some music, just like go over there.
Mostly I say, of course I know it because you've brought it up to me probably 15 times. However, I do know where it is.
It's in Medford Square.
It's where that sketchy left turn is.
Yep, it's where the sketchy
left
turn is.
There's like a million
sketchy left turns. No, but it's like the sketchy left turn.
Like when you're getting off Mystic Valley Parkway and you're trying to turn left into Somerville.
Yeah.
It's that left turn.
Yeah, it's right
directly in front of you is Deep Cuts.
That's what I'm saying. The sketchy left turn.
It's the worst left turn in potentially the state of Massachusetts is that turn.
So, I know. I always like every time because trying to get home or to my fiance's house, you have to take either route. And every time I'm like, okay, this one is backed up. This one I have to take the sketchy left turn. It's like you really have to run the variables every time.
It's two lanes in both directions and you're trying to turn left against both of them.
Correct.
And there's no visibility.
There's no signage, no visibility. There are people turning left, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people behind you have full expectation that you're just going to like wheel this thing out.
Correct.
You're just going to not even stop your momentum whatsoever and you're just going to take it. Yeah.
And then the people, it's one lane. First of all, it's one lane. People decide it's two lanes. The people going right.
Yeah.
Up,
and they'll try
and
to
you
get.
You can't see. You're like, whoa, how am I supposed to take this left? I cannot
guess
see.
Guess I'll just die.
No, yeah, but literally, eventually that's what you have to decide. Is you just have to like close your eyes and accept death.
That's right.
It's a gamble.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I love how the city of Medford is like, nah, we're not going to fix
it. We're not going to fix it.
They're silent about it.
They are silent about it. Their silence speaks
volumes.
Are
they silent or were they silenced?
That's a good question.
I don't know the politics.
I don't know.
Member of like Medford MA's Facebook group, it is about 50-50 on like, you would say, like I could make a post right now that's like, hey, this left turn is the most insane thing in the entire world. Like just like if you were building a street, you would get laughed out of the room if you were like, yeah, you can take a left right here. There are 50% of people on that group that are just like, no, I think that's
but guaranteed
that left, my child was born on that left turn. I'll never change it.
Guaranteed before you put that post up, they would have zero opinion until
right.
you put the post up and then they would be like, nah.
We should do a bit of like stuff I saw on
Medford MA. That's great.
This one is the one today that there's just literally video footage of somebody posting like, hey, someone just drove up and hit my trash can. So it's just a security camera picture from like someone's Ring camera on their house and literally just someone came up and hit their trash cans. the first four comments were like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, did you, like, you know, maybe get the plate or whatever, that kind of thing. And then the comments were just like, you shouldn't have your trash cans on the street. Just go on the sidewalk. Here's, like, the land ordinance and whatever. And there's, like, a bunch of stuff. And then people were like, it looks like they tried to swerve. What if they're injured? You don't even care about this person. And it's like, they hit your trash cans.
There's no, it's no
the
winning. There's no winning.
It literally is just like I'm literally going to take, I'm going to zag so hard on this.
100%. 100%. But actually, I want to applaud a little bit the city of Medford.
Okay, because here we go. Yeah, we have to end the bit, obviously, with two. It's like, but this is a great place to live. Let's
look,
yeah, this,
and on that other side where that left turn is, right on the other side of that bridge, they took away that street. You know how you could go straight through traffic?
Yes. Yeah, they did do that.
They finally took that away. I swear.
They took the left hand on the other side. That's what they did. They did the exact same thing where they're just like, no, you can't do this.
But luckily, that straight, like going straight through the cross traffic, I mean, I'm telling you, like, talk about accepting death. There was nothing else to do.
You would grip it and rip it. That's what you would do. Yeah. That's like,
I remember that, like, the first
total correct usage of
that. Yeah, exactly right. No. There's no way. No, you literally would just drive as fast as you can into two oncoming lanes of traffic.
And just hope the person was paying attention and would slam on their brakes.
Exactly.
100%. Yeah, that was such a terrible, I don't know why it was ever
what
made that
lay
way.
On the other side? I always
that
wonder,
was going,
like,
well, that was,
it was going into the
93
highway.
North.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was going to the highway.
So at the at that sketchy left turn
on the other side,
about going straight instead of
through the cross,
so people
traffic.
Do still do that, which makes no sense because you're going from Mystic Valley Parkway
to Mystic Valley Parkway.
Like, that's the same, it's the same street. All you did is correct. Skip the bridge.
They just really liked the they wanted
gave,
the adrenaline.
They wanted it a little more difficult. Exactly, they wanted a little adrenaline yes. junkies. Yep, 100%, 100%. But on the other side, you could just go straight again through cross traffic, but now they have they put a sign that says cross, no street.
You can't do that, and they put some cones there, and then I remember those cones were got destroyed a few times.
They said nobody can be straight here.
Yep. That's what they said.
Yep.
That's
not
what they
allowed,
said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, that what we're talking about, right in front of the police station.
Correct.
Right in front.
It is.
It's directly
it
right in front.
There. That's,
they did that on purpose. They built the police station after they put the straight there.
But I think all the time
you're like setting up like a crime so that it can be. Like,
I
what is the
yeah, no,
for
there's
that?
A million
entrapment.
Times. So I
entrapment.
Exactly, it
entrapment.
Is entrapment. Because mm-hmm. I'll bike through there all the time, and I'm like, if I just die, at least they'll be able to see. Or like, would they even be able to see? Like, are there?
I bet
cameras?
They got good cameras. Yeah. I bet they got good cameras. I actually wanted to get your guys' opinion on. Sorry, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on Station Landing. That little
here we go.
Traffic
okay.
circle. How do we feel about that? I was actually driving through it this morning, and I was going to call in and ask for your opinion on air and pretend to be somebody else. But I thought you might recognize my voice. So
your voice would have been recognized by the show.
I thought so.
By our five total listeners, they would know.
I could have done this deep voice.
And that's because people sound like that. You know, like I've met people that have that voice, and I would have been thrown off by that.
Yeah, so like, what about this traffic circle? What do you think? Because it honestly peeves me off.
What are
I
you
don't
talking
know
about?
Which one that is.
Yeah.
Station Landing. There's like a million traffic circles.
What are you talking? Where are you talking about?
Let's see what's there. We've got Regina's Pizza. We got Starbucks. We got an urgent care. We got.
Where is this? Is this in Medford?
It's going on to Alewife. No, going on to Revere Beach Parkway.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one.
Obviously,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Actually, I'm number one fan of that.
Oh, yeah, you're zagging on this one, Max?
Yeah. That's
right.
Great, yeah.
Actually,
did you know that when they founded this country, that's like your freedom to be able to change lanes inside of a...
Yeah.
To not put lane markings inside of a roundabout is like... That's like this country will fall apart if we don't do that, you know? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is what the founding fathers wanted.
That's what it is, yep. Second
fathers,
Amendment.
What a term.
I wonder what it would be like to do that traffic circle on a horse.
Do you think that they did?
Yeah.
I mean,
I definitely think that there were traffic lights when horses.
The number of days I wake up and think about, like, it's Massachusetts, and if it was like 300 years ago, like, what would I be doing? Because
think about that all the time.
Like, I wake up and I'm walking a lot. Like, on a day like today where it's beautiful, you're like, I guess I would just, you know, be putting my boots on and be like sort of walking through the mud, but I would be like
for being a witch.
That's
It's easy for you to say.
I was gonna say that's
hey,
an easy
John
one
Proctor. That's maybe I'm the John Proctor. That's what I'm saying. That's.
I could be the victim, guys. Come on, hey, stop.
There was like 18 women and one man that died.
So it
and
could be me. So
it could have been the minority.
So we're not thinking about that. All right, I'm just saying.
Oof.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
Why? What brought this silence article into your life?
Oh, my class.
Which one?
Leadership and management for human service organizations.
Interesting.
My favorite class. Shout out to Dr. Lane if you're listening.
Dr. Lane.
You are.
Wait, seriously?
I'll ask her.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll ask her.
She commutes. Yeah, we'll get her on here.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Get Dr. 100%. Lane on here. 100%.
That would be a great person to have on here.
A good get.
Be a great get.
Yeah.
It would be a great get. I'm like trying to ask her to be my mentor, so.
There you go.
So.
Soft launch.
Should I ask her mentor on air so she can't say no?
That's true, yeah. It would be like proposing to somebody at like a Yankees game. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, well, you know, that's it. Yeah. Here we
You're
are.
Stuck.
Yeah,
entrapment.
You've got five total listeners and they're going to be real disappointed.
Yeah.
That's right.
They say no.
Mostly Anton.
It would mostly be Anton. Who'd actually just texted, I need to come on for a show one day.
Yes, Anton. I would love to meet you. I've heard an excessive amount about you.
Yes.
He's great.
Excessive,
I think,
but
meets in love.
But not...
Yeah.
Excessive, but justified.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, this class, incredible. I would recommend taking it if you want to transfer to William James University major in psychology
for
and human
services.
For
my second semester senior, that sounds
100%.
Easy.
100%.
Okay.
100%. If you're just, like, trying to make things more difficult for yourself, because
Always.
Why not? You know?
You could audit the class.
I could audit a 1,000 classes.
Yeah, that's true. I audited a class and that was the gateway drug to grad school. Is that you audit a class and then your professor is like, you know, I think this seems pretty fun,
hey,
right?
Hey, you pay a lot for this.
Exactly, yeah. Instead of paying like $100, what if you paid us thousands of dollars?
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the trick to not paying for grad school?
Scholarships. Mm. Going to a grad school where there is historically a lot of money for the major that you're in.
Mm. Okay.
And applying for and receiving... Oh, yeah, you got to do that.
I do.
Applying for and receiving the oldest scholarship in the country.
Okay.
I get the Johns... The Hopkins shareholder.
Hopkins?
Some guy... Hopkins.
It's me.
Yeah, no. Close. Hopkinton, Mass. Is the same guy.
Hey.
So Edward Hopkins donated like some money. It's because you keep grabbing it. Nev just ripped her mic off the thing.
I'm so sorry. Please don't watch this. I'm sorry.
0% of the time do I touch this thing after adjusting it for where it is.
I haven't touched this once.
I think you're very tactile. Yeah. Your hand is reaching up to it again.
Wait, no, but can I read this now
you got
that I
okay,
fixed it?
Okay, here we go. We got a PSA here.
Because what's crazy is I picked this PSA before I broke this thing. Okay. This is, if it's broke, why not try fixing it?
There it is.
In the 21st century, when our things break, it's typical to just toss them out into the trash for the landfill and buy replacements. But that can actually waste money and time, as well as harming the environment. A simple sewing kit can cost less than a pair of socks. Mending holes in clothes with a needle and thread can often take just a few minutes, less time than browsing the web to spend money buying new ones. While some electronic devices are purposefully manufactured to be impossible to repair, websites like iFixit.com publish high-quality, detailed repair guides for free. If one of your electronic devices malfunctions, before responsibly disposing of it as e-waste, first track down the owner's manual and see if it has a reset procedure. Often enough, that will do the trick. So when something of yours breaks, consider trying to fix it to save both time and money. Search the internet for instructions, and remember, if you were going to throw it out anyway, you don't have to worry too much about further damaging it. A public service message from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio.
There it is.
Oh.
Do you repair things?
I just keep the silence was the answer.
Exactly.
I keep the broken things in a just like around. I just keep it like
I have a pile.
Like one day I will repair it.
I actually have this pair of leggings, yoga pants, really cute yoga pants I bought at the thrift store, but I have just sitting in the corner because it's like a little hole. I just gotta stitch it up. But like
stitch it up.
That's how it goes. Yep.
Little hole. Just gotta stitch it up.
But I just like can't bring myself.
Yeah.
To like find a needle. Like that's a lot of.
I've got some.
Yeah.
Oh great! You guys want to do it for me?
No.
Oh.
No.
I'll pay you $1.
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right, and with that, to the sewing community of the Medford and the world, we bid you farewell. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.